Today we want to look at this thought. If everyone lived by the Ten Commandments, there would not be any crime. People say, well, they're irrelevant. Well, that's secular humanists that do not believe in God. They hate God. They hate the Ten Commandments because of the first three. If the United States lived by the Ten Commandments, all crime would stop. And, buddy, we need for crime to stop. It's not safe to walk outside the door anymore. And that is because the secular humanists have taught us the Ten Commandments are irrelevant. I think they are irrelevant. The first three commandments have to do with loving God. That's why the secular humanists and Marxists hate the Ten Commandments so much. A love for God affects the way we act. 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. That's the thing our universities are whipping up right now, and even some preachers whipping up hate between blacks and whites and Indians and Hispanics and everything else. Jesus said, love one another. They're totally opposite to the Word of God. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. The Word of God says, if you have hate in your heart, you're a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life. If you truly hate somebody, you forget it. You're not going to heaven. And it starts by loving God, first commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Many Christians have things before God like money, career, sex, power, family, and wealth. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. People have assumed that God has said, I will not bless Christians. Now, that's totally not true. It just says God has to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and then all these things to be added. God wants you to be blessed. He's got to be first, however. God does not say we cannot be blessed. He says the kingdom must be first. Then all things, all blessings will be added to us. Remember Deuteronomy 28. You hearken my voice, obey my voice. These blessings will come on thee and overtake thee. I pray that at the end of the service, not now. Second commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Some Christians have turned their backs to God and bowed down to Buddha. That's an image. And you say, amen. And we've heard some famous Christians that start worshiping an idol called Buddha. Buddha is not a god. He's not alive. He's not alive. Our God's alive. Amen. So how do you know? Because he lives in me. Amen. He works miracles in me and through me. Amen. He talks to me. And people say, well, people that hear voices, they need to see a psychiatrist. If you do not hear one voice in particular, you're going to hell. My sheep know my voice. So you will hear voices if you're born again. You hear one voice. Okay. The voice of Jesus Christ. He's our shepherd. We have to hear his voice to know the direction to take. When God is not first, he is jealous. He's not happy about that. We may not have graven images, but we must be careful not to worship anything other than God, like basketball, football, golf, and other things. We've had members of this church that come once a month or once a year, but they would miss one Vols football game. They would fly all the way to California, all of the United States, never miss a football game, but they miss church almost every Sunday. Something wrong with that picture. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. You see, this is talking about misusing his name. Using the Lord's name flippantly or as a curse word shows disrespect to our Creator God. The New American Standard Updated Version says, the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Many people today believe that God will not punish. He says, if you misuse my name, I will punish. God's not a secular humanist Marxist. He's a capitalist. What is capitalism? It's freedom to get out and work, make your own living, and not depend on the government or somebody else. That's all it is. Capitalism is evil. How's it evil to have the freedom to go out and get a good job and make money the way you want to make money and have the career you want to make? If you're a communist, you won't have any choice. They'll tell you where to go to school and what kind of job you're going to have. They'll totally dictate your life. Is that what you want? Or do you want God's way? This is God's way. Put God first, love Him, and He will bless you. It's a promise. The Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Many people today believe that God will not punish. Well, he will. Also, attaching his name to things that he did not say, I believe, is also using God's name in vain. I've seen some preachers use that as an excuse to get their way. Well, the Lord told me to do it. Well, if he didn't, you're using his name in vain. Anytime I've said the Lord told me to do something, it happens. Because I pray until I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. But even then, after I hear from God, I normally don't say, thus saith the Lord. I just say, this is what I feel like doing. And everybody jumps on it because it's God. Okay. Amen. Yeah. That works in your marriage too, mister. Amen. When I pray through on something and I recommend it to Dottie, she nearly always jumps on it. And if she don't, I go back and pray again because I may have missed it. Okay. Normally, if God's speaking to me, he's speaking to those around me. Amen. Well, y'all are doing a little better on the amens today, so we're off to a pretty good start. These first three equal the great commandment. Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Do you really love God? That's the number one thing. Situation ethics, Joseph Fletcher taught, he taught situation ethics, and he was a priest. I'm not sure who he was serving. I think maybe it wasn't God. But he said, if you're in the back seat with your girlfriend, just do the most loving thing. Well, the most loving thing may get her pregnant in that situation. It's love God first. Love God first. If you love God first, you're going to keep his commandments. And if you're going to keep his commandments, you'll love people. And you won't break the commandments because commandments always hurt people. Well, the preaching's getting better, but your amens are getting weaker. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? That's a good question. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So loving means serving. Amen. Well, I love the Lord, and I'll see you next Easter. Something wrong with that. Amen. And to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God. With all thy heart, with all thy soul. You see, we are commanded to love and serve. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. If you love God with all your heart, then you're going to love people. And you're not going to do anything to harm them. This commandment sums up the first three of the Ten Commandments. Love God. Verse 39, and the second is like it. Jesus continues, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, and the good neighbor is someone that's laying in the ditch. And you get them out and take them to the doctor. Can you say amen? Amen. If you love your neighbor, you're going to be a good Samaritan and help them out and bless them any way you can. Verse 40, on these two commandments, says Jesus Christ, On these two, well, if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you're not. If you don't keep my commandments, you really don't love me. And if you don't love people, you don't love me. I'm still reading. Keep listening. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we love God and people, we will automatically keep his commandments. That's why it's so important for us to teach our kids the Ten Commandments and to teach them, if possible, to every kid in school. Somehow, they need to know the Ten Commandments. They won't be taking guns to school and shooting each other if they are taught to live by the Ten Commandments. Because breaking God's laws hurts us and other people. Breaking God's law doesn't only hurt just other people, it hurts you. Hurts me. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes for our God always. There's no perfect people, but when we really truly love God, he'll help us. He'll help us. I remember there's a kid in our school, Eugene Bramble. And he was a sharp, good-looking young guy, great baseball player. I remember he was really something, and I considered him a friend. And I graduated from college, and I was working my way to making money in a cotton mill. You can't do that now because our government sent the cotton mills to China and to Mexico and everywhere else, so all of our good jobs left. I don't know how to work my way through college now. We need to go get those jobs, bring them back. Their idea didn't work. It backfired. And now these nations that we've helped build up, now they hate us and try and destroy us. America can really do some dumb things. And the further we get from God, the dumber we get. Amen. That's the way it works. Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes for our good always. Read that with me. The Lord God, now let me start over. And the Lord, 1, 2, 3, slow down, preacher. 1, 2, 2.5, 3. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes for our good always. Are you kidding me? The Ten Commandments are for my good? Yes. God never gave one commandment to make your life miserable. He gave every commandment to bless you and to keep you out of trouble. Eugene Bramble, as I was leaving the cotton mill right at the end of the season, there was a gate there. I don't remember exactly how that worked out, but he's on one side of the gate and I was on the other. And he said, "Barry, what you going to do?" He knew I'd graduated from college. And he was working at cotton mill, and I was working there too, just temporarily. And I said, "I'm going to go to seminary." And he laughed at me. Ha, ha, ha. In other words, you're just wasting your life trying to serve God. I thought, man, what's happened to this guy? Well, I went to seminary, and here I am today, 40 years later, still 49. Not longer than 40 years later, I guess. Anyway, I went to my grandmother's funeral, and we went to the cemetery for the burial. My cousin Gary was there, and he said, "Barry, come over here and show you something." I said, "Okay." We walked over to this tombstone, and guess what it said? Eugene Bramble. He rebelled against God, went down to Atlanta, got involved in drugs, and died. And where did he go? Where is he today? The commandments are for your good always. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. A lot of people really believe the Sabbath day passed away. You don't have to keep the Sabbath day. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil has really pulled a big number on a lot of people. If you don't keep a Sabbath, you're slowly committing suicide. Amen. Amen. Remember the Sabbath, and you'll see that in a minute. Hang on. I'm not any crazier now than I was last week. I'm just preaching the Word of God. It may sound crazy because we've been so brainwashed against the Word of God. When a preacher really truly preaches the Word of God, a lot of people think it's heresy because they've heard so many false doctrines. Just pay attention to the Word. Don't assume your preacher's crazy. He may be, but not because he's preaching the Word. Fifth, fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I wonder what that means. It means exactly what it says. To ignore this, to me, is slow suicide. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Not 3 days, not 4 days, not 5 days, 6 days. And then you take a day off. America, boy, if you had, they want to do a 3-day work week. Okay. God does not ordain 3-day work weeks. 6 days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. The seventh day is a day of rest. That's what that means. The seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you are your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, your employees, or your cattle. It is beneficial for everyone, for everything and everyone to have a day off, a day of rest. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day. You see, the Sabbath came from the creation story, not the law. Well, the Sabbath day is just another Old Testament commandment. No, the Sabbath was recognized by God before the law was ever written. Amen. And God did it himself. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day, and he's our example. The seventh day came from the Garden of Eden, not the law. A day of rest is necessary for spiritual and physical health. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Because he rested, he says, I want my people to rest. Take a day off. It's good for you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. If you make a living 3 days a week, that's your business. But this says work 6 days. Yay. And the Lord blessed the seventh day. If you can make a living in 6 days, you need to spend the other three. In 3 days, you need to spend the other three serving God, working at church or somewhere. Okay. And Genesis 2, 3, the Lord blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You see, this comes from the creation, not the law. To sanctify a day means to set aside a day of rest and renewal to the Lord. Like all of the commandments, the Sabbath day is for our good. Almost every time I have been sick, you know, I believe in the power of God to heal, but almost every time I've been sick is because I overworked. Just go, 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 go. Especially a preacher can always find something to do, you know, somebody to pray for, some place to go. And then sometimes a lot of physical stuff too. Over the years, I helped build these buildings, and sometimes hands-on in a lot of situations. Didn't know what I was doing, but if you tell me what to do, I can do it. Amen. And you say amen. Amen. And this says the seventh day, and then it says it shall be a Sabbath. The seventh day on the old law was designated to be the day of Sabbath. But now there are no holy days. It doesn't have to be Saturday. It doesn't have to be the seventh day. It can be a day set aside by the church. It needs to be, all of us need to try to keep the same day, and our companies need to give us that day off so we can do what it says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. How can you assemble together if you don't have a day off? And the proof that this nation was truly a Christian nation is, by law, you couldn't work on Sunday. All the businesses had to close. Well, this wasn't a Christian nation. Well, then why did they honor the Sabbath? Which now is Sunday, not Saturday. Well, how'd that happen? Well, there's no holy days now. So the early church decided Sunday. And that's just the way it is. It doesn't have to be Saturday. You got a lot of people, churches are disobeying God because they're meeting on Sunday. No, you just need to go back and study the Bible and know what you're talking about. Let me like it when I fasted 40 days. Now, let's just, if I can't back it up scripture, I will not preach it. Now, look at this. Well, let me tell you one more. Let me tell you a story. When I was in seminary, my daddy told me when I went to college, he said, well, I'm not giving you a dime to go to school. I got 8 kids. I can't send them all. I'm not sending you. Well, I didn't care. I knew God helped me. I worked in cotton mills and everything else. Worked at McDonald's even a while. Worked in an ammunition plant during the Vietnam, building, making bombs and making giant bullets. And I did a little bit of everything, working my way through. And did a lot of that while in seminary. And I had a job. I worked at midnight, get off and study hour two. About 2-3 o'clock, and get up at 7, 8, go to class, and I was doing that every day. And finally, I just almost totally collapsed. I just started shaking all over, and I went to infirmary and talked to the doctor there at the seminary, and he said, "What in the world have you been doing?" I said, "Well, just going to school and working." And I told him my schedule, and he says, "Look, boy, you go to the seminary, and you don't know you're supposed to have a Sabbath. You don't know you're supposed to take a day off." He said, "Nothing wrong with you except you need to go home, lay on your mama's sofa and let her take care of you a week or two. Then you can come back to school and go back to work, but you have to have a Sabbath, you understand me?" Took a doctor to tell a preacher what the will of God is. That's why I say it's slow suicide. You've got to have a day of rest. And why not do it on Sunday and devote your time to God's people and to the church and to Jesus Christ and take the day off and celebrate Jesus? Don't that make sense? Even the fields got a day off. I think it was every 7th year they would let the land lie and just rest the year. My daddy did that. Farmer. Every so often he would have a field. He wouldn't plant it for a year and just let the weeds grow, and then the weeds would die and it would fertilize the soil. It's built into God's creation. You can try to defy that if you want to, but we'll say nice things at your funeral. Don't worry. We'll find something nice to say. I'm a preacher. I can always find something nice to say. He always wore a pretty tie. Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. 6 days you shall... Man, I got to hurry, Jesus. 6 days you shall gather in manna, but on the 7th day, which is the Sabbath... 7th day is the Sabbath. The 7th day was the day of rest. Now the first day is the day of rest. In it there shall be none. What does that mean? It means God rained down honey nut Cheerios in the desert, and they gathered them up. That was their food. And he said, on the 7th day, you're to take a day off and rest, not even to go gather up Honey Nut Cheerios. You take that day off. "See, for that the Lord hath given you the 7th day a day of rest. Therefore he giveth you on the 6th day the bread of 2 days. If you obey God, he'll make it up to you. He'll said, if you'll cooperate with me, I give you the bread for 2 days in 1 day. He will give you the bread for 2 days in 1 day. Obey God on the Sabbath, and he will multiply the business you have during the week." Chick-fil-A has proven this now for years and years and years. It's still the most popular place to eat. I don't eat there very often because I hate standing in line. It's almost impossible to get Chick-fil-A without a line. And part of it's because they honor their employees and let them have Sunday off. And when they do come to work, they're rested and feel like working. If you can't take Sunday off, take another day. Have a day of rest. And I have to admit, I'm not real good at that. But I try to get some rest every now and then. Mark 2:27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. Whoa! That's interesting. The day of rest was made for you. Jesus said that. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The day of rest is God's gift to all men. Jesus expects us to keep a Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. If he is the Lord of a Sabbath, we need to be in church on the Sabbath, if we possibly can be. The Sabbath is his day. It is called the Lord's day. But it is for our benefit. It's his day, but it's for our benefit. Being in the presence of God is for your benefit. We should be in his house on the Sabbath and not mowing the lawn. Amen. If we don't take a Sabbath, we will pay a price in our health and our income. I believe that. Because if you're not rested, you're not going to do as good a job. Hebrews 10:26, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. So that's what the Sabbath is all about, is resting and spending time with God's people, spending time in the presence of God. We are not to forsake church because he is the Lord of a Sabbath. If you can take another day off, or if you can do a 3-day work week, that's your business. But God expects us to work. That's the solution to the homeless. Every problem in this country, the solution is God and obeying him and getting out and getting a job. It's not God's will for the government to take care of anybody unless it's absolutely necessity. You don't take care of healthy people and feed healthy people. They got to feed themselves. The Bible even says if a man doesn't work, do not feed him. Amen. Tough stuff. God's tough. He's not playing games. And every one of us is going to answer on Judgment Day. All these false teaching, God's going to hold every one of us accountable for everything. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Lord help me. And upon the first day of the week, what's that? Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And notice it says, together to break bread. That proves it's real church because they were serving communion on the first day of the week. The disciples started meeting on the first day of the week, not Saturday. Jesus taught them. They knew what he wanted. And there was not to be any holy days. But there's to be a Sabbath, which becomes a holy day, whatever day that is. And I do believe you can have your own Sabbath if you can't be in church. John 20, verse 1. And now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So what is the first day of the week? Sunday, it's not Saturday. John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. Notice, they noticed it was the first day of the week that he came back from the dead. So this is after the resurrection. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day was Sunday. For the New Testament church, and it still is. Amen. You can get caught up in all kind of legalism if you want to. Jesus fulfilled the legalism of the law, but we still are to go by the truth of God's word, which you have to have a day of rest. Amen. What is the Lord's day? The day Jesus arose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Y'all pay attention. Amen. This is super good teaching. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to lay aside and save as he may prosper so that no collection be made when I come. Why were they to receive the offering on Sunday? Because that is when they had church. I'll stand at the back door and you pat me on the back when you leave. The disciples changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday because there's no holy day. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink. or with regard to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath. Don't let anyone judge you because of the day you have your Sabbath, like Sunday. Do not let anyone judge you if you keep the Sabbath on Sunday instead of Saturday, because there's no holy days. But if we want to worship together, we have to have the same day. And if you can afford to take another day to rest, if you're working really hard, you might need some extra rest. But the key to a Sabbath is rest. Resting in the presence of God. It is important that we all keep the same day. Well, we're going to have to end with that right there. Y'all glad you came to church?